Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
I think I just wanted to break this down a little bit here on the front end. You know, the book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul in approximately 57 to 58 A.D. It's a letter. You know, those that are taking Pastor Miranda's class, it's an epistle. It's a letter written to the church. You guys remember that last week we were talking about that. So it's a letter that's written to the church. It's a letter of instruction. It's a letter of direction, encouragement, guidance. It's written to the church in Rome. It's a letter that's being given to the church. Amen. The epistles are letters that are given to the church to help build up the church, bring correction, edification, all that. Amen. And it's such a really neat letter. And you know, you'll see that Paul in verse Romans 1:8, you know, one of the things that he greeted the people. Then he moved into, you know, he said, first I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. Now that's a bold statement, you know, that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. That, you know, and Paul, he goes on to tell him, you know, I remember you in my prayers. I pray on all occasions, and I'm zealous to be with you. I'm zealous to come and preach the word of God. Paul wasn't in Rome. He was, you know, he was penning this letter and sending this letter away, as many of the letters, you know, some of the letters Paul, not many, but some of the letters that Paul wrote, you know, he hadn't visited Rome yet. So he's sending this letter to the saints, to the church. And I find it very powerful and very, very, very inspiring. And I think sometimes when you get into the epistles and you begin to see what's being spoken to the church and the encouragement that we can pull away from it, man, I think we should as Christians be really truly fired up, because these letters, they're really applicable for today. And Paul, though, he was very zealous to go, and he was ready to go and preach to the church in Rome. And this is what I want to focus on today, is this text in Romans 1:16 in verse 17. And it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." That just shall live by faith. Father, thank you for this word. Anointed, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The gospel message is nothing less than power from God. Let me repeat that one more time, because I want you to see something out of this text. The gospel message is nothing less than the power from God. It's God's word given to you. And it's, you know, can I tell you that God's word, and it's, God's word is power. And it's power given to you as children of God. And I get tied up in this, because I, you know, Pastor Moran and I were breaking some of this down yesterday, and I was just like, I want to convey a message to the people. I want our church to understand that It's what God wants for the church, but it's what God wants for us as individuals. He wants us to walk in the knowledge and the revelation of our salvation. It's not just I so happen to want to do it today and not do it tomorrow, but it's every day that we live in sozo, that the complete wholeness of our salvation. Because, you know, I believe salvation to be the greatest miracle. Absolutely. I believe that salvation is something that, man, we we're a church that wins souls. Amen. I'm thankful for that. You know, the Bible says he who wins souls is wise. So I'm thankful for that. But But it is the power of it is the power of that word. It's the power of Christ that hung on a cross. Guys, it's the shed blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Christ that was shed for us so that we would have life. And the Bible says life more abundantly. We're not just going through life depressed and angry and mad and upset and dealing with struggles. No, that was defeated. All these things were defeated. It's under the blood. And we walk and we talk. Can I say talking is important? Talking and placing things under the blood. But the gospel message is nothing less than the power from God. For everyone who believes it to be saved. That's anyone and everyone who puts their faith in Christ and his death for their sin on that cross he died. For anybody that puts their trust and their faith and their belief in it, the Bible says shall be saved. Wow. How important is salvation? For the believer, for the Christian, it's everything. It's how we begin our walk. It's how we connect to Christ himself. It's through that. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember that moment where, for me, it was like God gripped my heart. And I'm like, I'm being saved, and I didn't quite understand everything, but I got saved, and it was like I felt different. Something in me was different. It was the power of God that was now coming to live and dwell and be in every part of my being. God's alive. He's alive in you. He's alive in me. May we never look at our salvation as just that. No, it's the power of God living in me, flowing through me. Amen. The gospel message isn't a weak message. It's a message filled of hope and strength and courage. And there's so much in it. I was looking at this text and it was very interesting. Many of you may have heard of Martin Luther, from the 1500s, that a massive revival broke out in the 1500s, and he had opposed the church with, was it the 93 theses, right? Is it 95 theses that he had posted on the door of the church. And he was telling the church, church, this is what you're doing. You're for the, not to go through all that, but you're holding the church back. You're doing things to people that shouldn't be done, and this is not New Testament teaching. And so shortly after he had done that, they made a decision that they wanted to kill him. And so it's a great story, but that Reformation, it was birthed in his heart. There was a Reformation that had come upon him, and that Reformation was birthed in his heart. And it was this very passage of Scripture, Romans 1:16-17, that completely wrecked and changed his life. And I'm telling you, that's what the Word will do. The word will get into your inner beings. A word can get in there. It's like healing. He sent his word and he healed me. That's a word that it gets into my beings. I'm healed in Jesus' mighty name. There's a strength in knowing the word. There's a strength in God's power flowing through me, flowing through you. But, Martin Luther, it's interesting. He makes this comment. He said, one day I came to the understanding, the amazing truth of the gospel as expressed in Romans 1:16-17. And he says, a person may become right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Woo. A person may become right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Luther says that that at the moment he understood this, he was born again. He was born again. He was already a Christian. But once he come into the knowledge of salvation, once he came into the understanding that, you know, in Paul, what Paul's saying, for I am not ashamed, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he moved into a realm of I'm not ashamed. I'm you know, my life no longer belongs to me. The cause and purpose in which Christ wants me to be launched out, the cause and purpose in which God wants me to share this good news, wants me to invite somebody, wants me to witness, wants me to minister, all these things are compounded in this moment of time when he has the revelation of this passage of Scripture. That's what the Word will do. The Word will get seated in you. The Word of God. And I was up till 2. I told Miranda, I was getting ready to go to bed. I was like, I got to go back and I got to read. And I was like, and I looked at my sermon. I was like, Lord, I feel like you have me rewriting a whole nother sermon. I had this thing done. I spent time yesterday and I'm looking at it and I'm like, No. The people need to understand. It's the power. It's the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power lives on the inside of you. That same power is what's going to equip us. That same power is what's going to cause us to double. Amen. Hey, guys, come on. I'm preaching good today. This is good stuff. I'm preaching good. So jump into this. It's that power that lives on the inside of you. It's not you. It's not you. It's Christ in you. And when we have that revelation, when we have that clear understanding, no, it's Jesus in me. Yeah. You know, yesterday I was at the Sheets. A guy comes by and he's like, hey, sir, you have any change? I don't carry money on me. I'm like looking in my pockets. I don't have any change. And it was a guy that I had met. He had been in this church and he's like, I need a couple $3 or whatever. He's like, I'm going this direction. Are you going that direction? I said, no, I'm not. I'm actually not going that direction. He said, okay, no problem. And I looked at him and said, do you remember me? And he was like, yeah, I remember. You're the pastor. You're Pastor Brad. And, you know, I don't know whether it's in the moment of, you know, that I don't know what moment he realized that. And so he took off very quickly. I went in. I think I got gum or something. I come back out and he was gone. And I was like, man, I got to go that direction now. So I went that direction, it's raining, pouring the rain down. You know, I'm like, it's just pouring the rain down. You know, and you know when it's raining, people are ducking in trying to, you know, not get as wet, so they're walking under awnings and things. And I finally see him over Price Cutters, and I was like, hey, you know, hey, you need a ride. You jump in. And, you know, he begins to have a thankful heart. And just gratitude. He's like, yeah, I've been to a few other churches. I've visited a few other churches. I really like your church. I really like you guys. And you know, we make small talk, pray, whatever. You know, we do that. But I thought in that moment of time, it's that kind of power. It's that kind of power that you know, we can't ignore. It's that kind of power that God gives you the ability, that you have the ability to impact change in one person's life. You have the ability to go beyond, right? To Dr. Morocco, go beyond. You have that ability in you, but it's like you have to be intentional. In this world today, you have to be so intentional to share the gospel with people. Because if you're not intentional, life will happen. Things will happen. You'll have to be intentional about inviting people. If we're going to double, I'm talking about doubling today. We're doubling people. We're going to have to be intentional about, you know, about making our rounds, making that important. Why is the gospel important? It's the message of Jesus. That's what the gospel is. It's the message of Jesus. God's plan, his desire for humanity, that none shall perish. If none means none, it means none. So we, the church, we, the body, we all have a part to play. Guys, listen. Hell is a very real place. And, you know, and I feel even soon it's something that I will preach on, because people, you know, people need to, hell is very real. And people will go there. People will burn in hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, they're good people. It doesn't matter whether they're good or bad. It doesn't matter. It matters whether or not they've received Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Hell is very real. It's not. It wasn't created for man. Hell's very real. So, man, it's that we understand this very power that lives on the inside of us. The gospel. The gospel itself, it brings the power. You know, can I take a little bit of pressure off of you this morning? It's the power of God that saves people. It's the power of God that heals people. It's the power of God and the demonstration of the power of God that flows through a vessel, a willing earthly vessel. You and I are it. God chose us. He chose you. He chose me. He chose us. We're the chosen on earth to be at His call. We're the chosen to make sure people hear this good news, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only in that, but it's also in our testimony. Amen. Our testimony is so important. I'm going to get into that next week. But I feel so compelled to preach around this. I feel like I'm getting ready to be launched into parts of Fairmont again, in parts around this county, in other states, and God's the things that God's opening and things God's showing us and things that God's doing. We're advancing this year. We're doubling this year. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But it is the power. Let me, you know, so just take that pressure off of yourself. It's God in you. Oh, if I could just work it up enough and feel like, if I could just, you know, anybody that does street ministry, and we've talked about it, you don't feel like getting out of bed at 9 o'clock in the morning and hitting the streets to go win souls. Right? Anybody with me? Your flesh wants to stay in bed. But when you get out on the streets, and you come back, and you got a testimony, and you got a testimony. Or you've been somewhere, you've been into one of our facilities, and you got a testimony. You got a testimony. You've been somewhere sharing the gospel, you got a testimony. You got a testimony. You guys, you get where I'm going? You got a testimony. Where you've been, where you've been, God's been there. God showed up. Where you were, God was there. You're in Walmart. You know, I'm thankful that, you know, even to talk about Abu at Walmart. People know him by name now. Why? Because God signaled this guy out in Walmart. Now many of the people in this church have prayed for that guy. So that he would receive salvation. Amen. And he has in Walmart. I just need to get him off on Sundays to be able to come to church. You know, certain cultures, they don't take days off. They don't Sabbath is not, that doesn't register. Japanese, Indians, they work 14, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's how they work. But Paul says this, and out of this text, and I think it's such a powerful text, and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Whether Paul was taking some time to encourage the Christians in Rome, which I believe that he was. I'm not ashamed. Guys, I'm the apostle here, and I'm writing you a letter. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So he's writing to the church. I'm not ashamed. Whether that was given to them as an encouragement, or whether it was given to them as a means of even correction, because maybe their faith was wavering. Maybe they were like, you know, I'm trying. You know, I'm in Rome, and it's multicultural, and there's all kinds of stuff here going on, and it's a big city, and they worship this, and they worship that, and there's parties every day, and parties everywhere. You know, it's just tough being a Christian in Rome. You know, whether that's what, you know, does that sound like America a little bit? It's tough being a Christian in America. There's just all this stuff to get into. I can go here, I can go here, I can, you know.
You know, guys, there'll always be distractions distracting us away from the cause of Christ, the main purpose to draw people to salvation. There'll always be. There always has been. Even in Paul's day, Ephesus, a major metropolitan city, Rome, it was massive. And so the message was, you just be free, live free, do whatever you want to do. That's not changed. But Christ came for all. He came for all. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I absolutely believe, and I think this is where the Lord just quickened me last night to rewrite most of this. I believe there's a defining moment in every believer's life. Every believer's life, I believe there's a defining moment where you realize, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed because I know what He's done for me. I know what He's done for me. How do you tell? How do you tell when you're not ashamed? How do you tell when you're not ashamed of the gospel? Because you think about it, sometimes we think, wow, I missed this or I missed that, and I'm going to tell you, even in that conviction of missing it, that's what's bringing you back. You're not moving. You're coming back into no. You might have maybe missed an opportunity, but there's conviction in your heart. There's God pulling on your heart. That I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to make this decision for Christ Jesus. How do you tell when you're not ashamed? And it was interesting. I wrote this down last night. As you get older, we're all aging. Every one of you are aging. Can I give you this today? The anointing of God should increase in your life as you get older. You should increase as you get older. The Bible, Paul says, from faith to faith. So if you're stagnant and you're staying the same, I think that's the thing. There's the time to evaluate. Are you pressing in? Are you going deeper? I think there should be increase. I think that he even just capped this off. I mean, we go from being babes to being mature. How do we mature as a Christian? We mature daily. We continually are on the walk of maturing as a Christian. We're not in the same starting gates. That when we got saved, we're stepping up to the plate. We're going higher. Amen. I don't look the same. I know I've said that time and time again, but I don't look the same. But the anointing, your faith, you know why I say this is because in your faith, I realized this, and this is one of the things, comments that I made in my own mind last night was like, I don't forget what God did for me last week. That's what pushes me from faith to faith. When we start forgetting, I got healed back in 1972, and I remember that one time. No. We live in it. We walk in it. We stay in it. I recognize He's my source. Jesus Christ is my source. My strength is, it comes from Him. Amen. But the anointing, it increases in your life. Your finances should go up. Anybody with me? You should increase. Every part of your life, there should be increase. Why? It's because you're growing in the things of God. It's from faith to faith, from glory to glory that we live in. You become immovable. I think this is, hear this today, church. As you grow in this, you become immovable. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And this is what I'm trying to put into you today. It's not that I'm trying to put it into you. I believe the Holy Spirit was directing me to preach this message. I become immovable. I'm not I'm not moved by a circumstance. I'm not, because the things that cause things to be shakable in our life, that when we realize, you know, I'm not going to be ashamed, these are the things, the circumstances, we have to begin to deal with those. It could be family. It could be friends. I wrote that down. I was thinking about it last night. It was like, what causes our faith to be shakable? What causes our faith to sometimes get a little tipsy? It's the cares of this world. It's the things that come in and choke things out, that things that cause distractions. But Paul knew something, and I think this is the power. This is the power. Paul in the power of Jesus Christ can make this statement. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed. How do you tell when you're not ashamed? Your friends no longer determine your joy or your pleasure. You find your pleasure in Jesus. You're not moved or persuaded by outside circumstances. I said it earlier, could be family, could be friends, could be something like COVID. I don't even know if you're allowed to use that word. It's like a bad word, right? I think you get an administration change, you can talk about it now. You're not kicked off of every social media outlet because you mention it, and you have to have C. You can't even say the word. Pastor, you may think this is too much, but I truly believe in my heart that God is allowing. There's things that are being allowed in the spirit right now because of prayer, because of intercessory, because things are breaking open. Guys, listen, if we were going into another 4 years with the same administration, they have come against marriage, they've come abortion. I don't know that I'll talk about this the second service, but who knows? The things over the last 4 years that we're trying to make the new norm. Can I be honest with you? These aren't normal things for Christians. These aren't things that we should have to tolerate. But what happens in a society is we just get complacent. It's like it doesn't, it's not affecting me. No, it will affect you. It'll affect your kids. It'll affect your grandkids. It'll affect you. It'll affect your workplace, your work environment. It will affect every part of it. But I believe there's, and I'm not saying it's an open heaven. I believe we have access to God, and we have since Jesus Christ went back to be with the Father. So we have access. I truly believe that. We've just got to learn how to tap into that access. But there's a lifting right now in America. There's a lifting that's taking place. And the church right now needs to position itself to say, hey, you know what? At all cost, I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm bringing people with me. I'm going to share this gospel. I'm going to share this good news. I'm going to be a firebrand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I love about what I love about this passage? See, let me say this first, because see, when a culture begins to shift, it can dictate the climate in every part of society. You guys understand, like when culturally people begin to adopt, and we begin to think that this is the new norm, it has a tendency to shift culture. That's why, like media, people don't realize the power of media, the power of information, and how people can spin stuff, and how they can just make it seem it's normal. It's normal to sin. It's normal to look at pornography. It's a normal thing, It's a normal thing to have six wives. It's a normal thing to be divorced. It's a normal thing to this. It's a normal thing. It's that this is the new norm. And I know that there's the plan of redemption for every person, but you know, what it does is it changes the climate and we get comfortable. And I feel like that's the thing. Like right now, we can't be comfortable. The church, we can't be in a place, well, you know, God's good. Look at what's happening. Things are good. It's not time to go on just cruise, right? I don't know if you guys are watching what's happening in America. If you're not, even last night we were watching a revival meeting in Alaska, 1,200 people filled up in that building. Revival breaking out. You know, we were in Maui, 1,000 people. Churches getting filled up because the people are excited for what the Lord is doing and what He's doing through people and what He's going to do through the church. The church is going to roar. The body of Christ is going to roar. You know, I'm a pro-life pastor. I'm pro-church. I'm pro-singing without a mask. I'm pro-church in the assembly and the coming together. You know, right now, churches that didn't meet for 2.5-3 years, they're trying. They've lost their congregations, and they're now saying, you know, we probably should come back together. Their congregation doesn't exist. Because the people that have desire to be a part of the body, what did they went and found another place. You know, guys, and I promise you, this isn't about Pastor Brad and Pastor Miranda being boastful or we didn't close our church. It's not for me to have some sticker on the wall and for me to be some super. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I can't be, won't be. And, you know, there has to be a time, and I believe, and this is the thing for every believer, there has to be a time when, you know, in you that's like, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not going to be moved by my job. I'm not going to be moved by people. I'm only going to be moved by God in faith to take steps of faith. Moving forward. Amen. Keep moving forward. You know, Paul says this, and I love this, because if you catch this, I'm not going to be ashamed. So you have to determine in your heart, you know, what would cause you shame? But if it's attached to Christ, I'm not going to be ashamed of His name. I'm not going to be ashamed of what He's done for me. I'm not going to be ashamed to tell people what He's done for me. Well, you know, even in church, and I remember several years back, I was like, you know, when you're working to create a culture to invite people to church, you know, I knew something very early. People don't realize what we're... When I come to church and I raise my hands in worship, I'm leading the congregation. If I come over here and I'm not engaged in worship, I don't seem like I care. I seem like other things are more important. What's the congregation going to, what are they going to do during worship? The exact same thing. Right? You guys with me? So we come in here full throttle for the worship team. Somebody said the other day, can I come up front and worship? Yes. You jump up here and you sing and you jump and you dance and you give Jesus everything you got. What? I'm not ashamed. Who's going to... You know, I'm not ashamed. You know, what if they see me? I can't dance very well. It doesn't matter. David danced with all his might. I'm sure it wasn't pretty. I know the time I danced in the backyard, in my own backyard, and spun around in circles and fell down because I got dizzy. That probably said, what is he? That ain't no dance move. That's not Johnny Fever. That's not from the 1970s. That's ugly. But I think when David danced with all his might, you know, he did it with every part of his being because he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't, and I'm not, you know, people say, I'm not even talking about dancing. I'm talking about not being ashamed for the Jesus that lives in you. That people see it. They see it. They see it in every fiber, in every being, that they're drawn to you. People are going to, I'm telling you, get ready. Those that will set themselves up for this, God, you'll be like a magnet to people. You will be like a magnet to people. People will say, I know you're a Christian. I know you won't even have to say anything. It'll be like, and that's what's getting, I know you're a Christian. And don't come up with this pathetic, well, you know, sometimes, you know, I go to church, I struggle like everybody else. Don't do that. You know, I'm just like you. No, you're not. You understand, I'm not ashamed. I'm not like everybody else. So me jumping into the pit with somebody doesn't help them. What I need to be out on the outside of the pit saying, hey, here's the rope, come with me. I'll show you what Jesus can do for you. I'll show you what my King can do. For I'm not ashamed of, you know, I got this miracle happened in my life. This happened in my, I'm not ashamed of what He's done for me. We don't get in the pits with people. We help people get out of pits. That's your story. Anybody with me today? Because I'm telling you, this has got to get in us. If we're going to save this community, you know, if we're going to have a major impact in West Virginia, it starts with this group of people here now. Amen. And the soon ones coming. Because I'm telling you, they're coming. I've seen it. And even in the weeks and even in the month or so ahead, get ready. There's shiftings that are getting ready to happen. We go from 100, 125 right now to 200. And I'm telling you, I believe it'll happen. It'll be like, what just happened? It happened. God's breathing revival on this nation. He's breathing revival on a people that will remain hungry, the people that won't compromise, people that will say, you know what, I'm going to spend a little extra time in prayer. I'm going to make it to prayer. I'm going to give a little extra time here. I'm going to do this because this matters to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Paul said this, and if you catch this out of this text, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first the Jew and then the Greek. It's the power. You can work faith up. You can work things up, but you should do that. But it's there. It's the power of God. You know, I remember a time, you know, I was getting ready to say this earlier, but you just like, man, you know, before I was a pastor, you know, I would invite people to church and I would think, man, you know, what if we have the prayer line today? You know, what if the pastor calls for the Holy Ghost train to go marching around the church? What are those people going to think? What if somebody speaks in tongues? What if they have another message on giving? What, you know, they take up tithe and offering every week, and what, you know, what if it offends this person? What if am I talking to anybody? Because see, these are the things that get into our minds. Well, you know, I think they might like it, you know. They have an alternative lifestyle. I just don't know if they would like our church. It's the power of God. Get yourself out of it. It's the power of God. You know, and I don't know why the Lord keeps reminding me about the WVU. Because, you know, I know it's Morgantown. But like what you said, what you planted, that seed that you planted with the president of the college. What this college needs is Jesus. It wasn't God. Is that right? Is that what you told him? It needs Jesus. See, that's what our community needs is Jesus. And see, you know, pastor that I sit under, Pastor Ron Blevins, Brian and Erica did, Pastor Brian and Pastor Ron, and you know, the advice he gave me when we went into the missions field. What would you tell me? We're getting ready to go. I'm not waiting for this card or that card. Or the Lord said go, so we're going. That's how we had to do it. I couldn't wait to have everything figured out. I couldn't wait. The Lord said go, and I knew that I needed to go. My house had already burnt down. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. You know, it's like, well, people are like, can't believe you'd leave your house burnt down. Well, I don't have a house. What's the purpose, right? What's the purpose of staying in my house? I don't have a house. You know, can't believe you'd leave your property like that. It's, praise God. God's going to restore it. He's going to rebuild my house. Amen. But one of the things he said to Moran and I when we met with him, he says, just remember this. He said, you're not the Holy Ghost. You're not the Holy Spirit. You can't be that to people. You won't be that to people. So stay out of that business. And I'm telling you, that served me well some 12 years of full-time ministry. I'm not, you know, that's why, like I said, I know how important it is to get people to the church. If something happens, we teach and we train around that. We talk about that. You know, we don't just sweep things under the rug. We do that. We teach and we train. But we allow the Holy Spirit to always move in our services, because that one person sitting in that service, you know, that hears somebody pray in tongues the first time. Do you guys know that, you know, even somebody from another nation could be in here and be like, you're speaking my language. That native tongue, that tongue you just, you guys, it's the power of God. See, Paul had this revelation. You know, and I believe this revelation is so rich. It's the power of God that saves. It's the power of God that does these things in your life. It's the power of God that's gonna set people free. It's the power of God you're sitting with a friend, you know, that the Holy Spirit comes upon them to receive salvation. You know, in 5 years, we haven't tracked it, but, you know, just in the last 2 weeks, there have been people in this house receive miracles. Pastor, why don't you talk about it? Yeah, we should testify more about that. Cancer, gone. Any thought of cancer, completely gone. Tumor, it's not cancerous, gone. Angela testified, Miranda, last week come up here and just her leg or something, was your knee, right? Or your hip. Gone. See, our God is a miracle-working God. He's a miracle-working God. We're going to have to cue that up, minister. He's a miracle-working God. Praise God. I know what He's done for me. I know what He's done for me. Do you know what He's done for you? Yeah. Does anybody in here, do you know what He's done for you? Do you know what He's done for you? Whew. It'll put everything into perspective when we remain in Him. And we take everything back to Him. Look at what you've done, God. Look at what you've done for me. I want to encourage you with this scripture. I have another passage, but I'm going to bring this to a close, this first service. My job, your job, the church's job is to be a messenger. Get this in you today. Your job is to be a messenger. To whom? To the world. To people that are going to hell, guys. You've got co-workers. You got family members. You got people that you know. You know people. You're called to be a messenger. You allow God to do what God does. It's like why I said, please hear this, because, you know, we're talking about doubling, we're talking about reaching the one, we're talking about that. We begin to get them here. What at all cost? I mean, you know, think about it. If we knew, I always think about this. But if we knew Jesus was coming back in 2 weeks, what would be our priority? What would be our priority? To make sure people we love, to make sure people we know, have an opportunity to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Amen. We wouldn't play around with it, would we? We'd be in people's, you know, you don't have to be religious, but we would take this very We would have a different outlook. We would have a different mindset around it, right? We would. I believe we would. I believe we should. But our job is to be a messenger. Romans 10, it says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How are they going to know? How can they call upon Jesus whom they've not believed, whom they've not heard of? Can I tell you, people are like, well, yeah, I went to church, but they may have went to church but never have heard about Jesus Christ. Welcome to America 2025. They've not heard the message of Jesus. We live in America where you think, man, so many churches, so many places people can hear and receive, they haven't heard. How then shall they call upon him who they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How do they hear? It's through us. It's through the body. It's through you. It's through me. You know, guys, you should always, and this is my honest belief, that in any church setting, that we're in, or Kings worldwide, you'll always have an opportunity to receive the gospel. That should happen in every church. I'm sorry to tell you, it doesn't happen in every church. I think I was listening to Jonathan this past week. I've been listening to him more, but it's like he was talking about a guy in D.C. that they a big church, a big denominational church, and they were talking about how the word Savior, how they needed to edit the word. You know, we need to make people feel more comfortable about coming into church, and we want to really just not talk about Jesus as the Savior. He is my Savior. Oh my, we need to know that, he is my Savior, but we need to rephrase this. We need to recoin this phrase because it makes people feel uncomfortable. Can I tell you today that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to make people that are in sin uncomfortable? It's going to make sinners uncomfortable. Why? Because it's the power of God that saves. If I wasn't uncomfortable in my sin, I would have never given my heart to the Lord. I would have never gotten saved. I would have stayed in my sin. But the gospel, the message, a friend preached to me, took me to a meeting, watched a prophet call out people and read their mail. Like, what in the world is this all about? You know, like, completely spun around backwards. It was in the Lions Club. It wasn't even in church. I went to a Lions Club to a meeting to listen to a prophetess speak. Grandma Shirley had brought in. Mamma Shirley, I think. Somebody brought in. You got to go hear this lady. She'll peg you. I don't want to be pegged. I don't want her to know anything about me. I'm in sin. I'm going to hell. Leave me alone. You know, that was my story. And Brian, we was good friends with him. We played football together. Fire of God was on him for 2 years. And he did damage. He did damage to the kingdom of hell. Everywhere he went, he led people to the Lord. He was an insurance adjuster. He worked all of West Virginia. Everywhere he went, he prayed. He would go. I'd go with him on jobs. Next thing you know, we'd be standing outside someone's house. He'd be telling them about the roof. You know, I can do this and do that. You know what? We should pray. Are you saved? You need to get saved. You know, you get in the backwoods of West Virginia, you tell somebody they need to get saved, they're not saved, and you look like you're confident in it, they're going to be like, well, this guy knows what he's talking about. I need to get saved. See, you guys, it's the power. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our job is to be a messenger. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Guys, can I tell you, get ready. Get ready because you're being commissioned. You're being commissioned out of this house into your workplaces, into the highways and the byways. And you're being commissioned out of this house. And I lead up to this today. You're being commissioned. We're going to go get the harvest. You're being commissioned. Pastor Miranda, you're being commissioned. I'm being commissioned. And that's what I felt like the Lord was saying to me last night. Son, you're being commissioned.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.